Well, good morning, everyone. Today, we will be thinking about prayer based on Genesis chapter 18. And prayer is about walking and talking with God. It's not just us talking to God, but it's also listening to God. And listening to God requires us to be focused on God, walking with God. So if you'd like to open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 18, we will read from verse 1 to 8. Thank you. So the first verse is a picture about Abraham sitting at the entrance to his tent. And then he saw three men nearby. Then, like any good man in his society, he rushed out to welcome them. And what we read tells us that he rushed to prepare food, and he and his wife, and then they had the three men eating under the tree. Now, there were three men, and there's nothing strange about that. But verse 1 tells us one of the men was God. In other words, this was a special appearance of God as a man. Now we know that Jesus was God coming as a man. He was both God and man. But in this case, God appeared for a special occasion as a man. So God can appear to us in many different ways that he might choose. He may appear to some people as an angel. Or he may send an angel. He appears in dreams. And in Thailand, I had many people tell me they had seen a man in white in their dream. And that man may tell them to go and see somebody or go and do something. So dreams are very common in Asia and in the Middle East and in African countries. I wonder whether anyone has had an experience like that. Okay. No. Well, I haven't either, but I know many people who have. And now let's read from verse 9 to verse 15. So the three men were eating under the tent, and Abraham was serving them under the tree. Yes. And one asked Abraham, "Where is your wife?" And Abraham said, "Oh, she's in the tent over there." Then the man said, "I will return about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90. So Sarah laughed. That's crazy. How could we have a child in our old age? It's not surprising that Sarah was saying that's impossible. But this was God telling her. Now, the Bible gives us many promises. And I wonder if we are often rather like Sarah. Do we sometimes say like Sarah, oh, that's impossible, that'll never happen? And are we willing to say, God, help me to believe it and help me to do what it is necessary? So we need to believe and claim God's promises and bring them into our own lives. So the man asked, why did Sarah laugh and say, can I really have a child when I'm so old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The man was saying, well, God was saying, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I think sometimes God asks us that question too, just like he asked Sarah. God is not limited to our thinking and our expectations. And he's not tied to our understanding of the laws of science. He can do so much more, way beyond anything we can understand or imagine. So we need to ask him to broaden our vision and ask him to teach us his ways. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 55 that I'd like to read. It's Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. God speaking. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, God's thoughts, higher than our thoughts. We need to be humble before God. We are like a little child with their mother or father. We just cannot understand fully the way God thinks and the way he works. So we need the mind of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to train our minds and hearts to listen to God's ways. That's something we can all pray for, that God will keep training us in his ways. There's also another aspect to this. God can tell us very clearly what's going to happen in the future. Now, he doesn't usually do that, but he most certainly can. So God wasn't saying to Sarah, what do you think about having a baby when you're 91? He was saying, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Get ready. Now we'll read the remainder of the chapter together. I know it's a little longer, but let's read the whole section from verse 16, and then we'll think about it. Just before you start reading, I'd like to say a couple of things. This is you might say, the first prayer that we're given in the Bible. And it's a prayer asking God about other people, not about Abraham himself. And as we read this, we need to understand that Abraham lived up in the hills and he could look out across the plain. And he could see away in the distance this town called Sodom. And Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And Lot had traveled for many years with Abraham. But now Lot lived in Sodom over there. So Abraham was very concerned about Lot when God started talking about Sodom. So let's read the rest of the chapter. Okay, thank you. I'd like you to notice five things about this prayer. Did you notice the way that Abraham spoke to God? Please may I speak, even though I am but dust and ashes. Far be it for you to do such a thing, to kill the godly with the wicked. treating the godly and the wicked alike? Will not the judge of the whole earth do what is right? So, first of all, Abraham was very humble before God. He honored God in every way. And yet he spoke boldly. Honestly and directly. So he is an example for us in prayer. And Abraham prayed for the whole population in Sodom. Although Lot, he didn't mention Lot at all. He was concerned for those in the city. No God. As well as those who did. And he was concerned for the well-being of the whole city. So that's a second example from Abraham about praying for the well-being of the city and the country we live in. Now, did God answer Abraham's prayer? Well, in the next chapter, we learn that Sodom was destroyed. But Lot and his family were rescued and saved. So God heard and answered prayer. Probably not in the way that Abraham had expected. God will not always answer our prayers in the way that we expect. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And also that the judge of the whole earth will do what is right. There are times when we pray when we don't really understand what we're asking for. And there are times when we may be asking for something that is plain wrong and simple. So God always hears our prayers. sometimes he says yes. Sometimes no. And sometimes nothing seems to happen. Which means that he's saying, wait, it's not the time yet. And all that, of course, reminds us again that we need the Holy Spirit in us, leading us so that we pray according to His will. Now, the fourth point is that Abraham was persistent. Will you save the city if there are three righteous people? And what if there are only 45? And what if there are only 40? And what about only 30? And 20? And finally 10? So Abraham was persistent. Jesus told some parables about being persistent in prayer. For us, that might be things like praying for family members to believe. Perhaps parents or children or grandchildren. Or other friends. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Our daughter and son-in-law worked in an area in Thailand for over 20 years. And so far, almost no one is really. So we keep on praying. And finally, remember that the judge of the whole earth will do right. The last verse in the chapter says, the man, God, went on his way towards Sodom, and Abraham returned to his tent. So like Abraham, we can bring our prayers to God. And then we go back to our daily responsibilities. Mm-hmm. and we can trust God to do what is the very best. But that's far better than anything we can do ourselves. And that's the secret to living a life of peace and joy. We walk and talk with God. And then we trust Him to work it out. So let's pray together. Mighty God, we thank you that you are great beyond our understanding, and we thank you that your ways are higher than our ways and better than our ways. We pray that you will help us to trust you more and more. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill and flood our hearts and minds so that we think and do according to your ways, and we pray according to your will. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you.